You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, April 14th, 2025. If you're in the U.S., you got one more day to pay those taxes so you can support the Ukraine or whatever other nonsense that your money is going to. Got to get it done. Don't forget. Don't let it slide. Well, you don't forget to join us here for this installment of the Daily Nationalist, where we go through some fun stories. Not always informative, but always fun stories, courtesy of the Daily Mail. And we're going to start right off with this story with the headline, Trump hints at new tariffs for major industry that could send Wall Street reeling as he rips into China. President Donald Trump is hinting that new tariffs on the semiconductor industry could go into effect soon as he rips into China. The tariffs will be in place in the not-too-distant future, Trump told reporters on Air Force One on Sunday night. And no, I'm not going to continue to try to do Trump imitations because I know. You have to tell me I know they're not very good. Like we did with steel, like we did with automobiles, like we did with aluminum. We'll be doing that with semiconductors, with chips, and numerous other things, he added. Trump also said that tariffs on the pharmaceutical industry will be happening very fast. We're going to have our drugs made in the United States. So in case of war, in case of whatever, we're not relying on China and various other countries, which is not a good idea, Trump went on. Now, I picked this story to start with because I really haven't gotten into the topic of these tariffs all that much. And it's obviously been on this big news to fall out from these tariffs, and whether it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, it's a sound strategy. I've read opinions, you know, all across the board. You know, I don't just look for somebody that agrees with me and read that and go, yep, I'm right. I know I don't understand all that much. You know, I don't all understand every aspect of this, I should say. And I read people that have different opposing views. Some people I read, they think this is a good thing and a win for the U.S. ultimately. And then, of course, people that say it's going to destroy and burn the economy to the ground, and most stuff in between. Now, my own take on this is the point that gets lost, I think, in this is the lack of capacity that the United States has. Now, normally in a trade war where you're doing these tariffs back and forth, normally the country that has a trade deficit has nothing to lose. They only have ground to gain putting tariffs on the country that has the trade surplus. Now, I don't think you can apply that here in the case of the U.S., and I'm going to tell you why I believe such as we go along. Now, if you were to compare this, say, to the sanctions that were placed on Russia that didn't work and backfired on the West, and you say, well, you look, they put all these sanctions on Russia and their economy has recovered and actually done better under these sanctions. So you could apply that view to these tariffs. And ultimately, though, in the short term, it may be a little tough. Things could turn around and things will be even better in the U.S. America, buddy, will be all that much stronger. I think that's a false equivalence to make because, you see, Russia already had the industrial capacity. The problem, the fly in the ointment of this strategy, and again, normally this strategy would be a sound strategy. What Trump is doing would normally be a sound strategy. The problem I see, the fly in the ointment, the reason you can't necessarily go off of that, which would traditionally be, yeah, this is a sound policy. You add tariffs, try to start balancing things out, is because the U.S. is a financialized economy. The U.S. is not an industrialized capacity. Now, of course, obviously, the U.S. does still make things. That's not to be an absolute. You're saying they don't make, you're saying the U.S. makes zero. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, generally speaking, we're speaking generally here, the U.S. is a financialized economy. The whole economy in America is based off of parasiting off some form of usury, you know, charging a commission, charging interest, you know, buying out a company and then stripping it for its assets to pocket. This is what the U.S.'s economy is based on. It is not based on manufacturing. Now, if you look back in the 80s, Reagan threw tariffs on Japanese import cars to basically, it's an indirect subsidy to the American car makers. See, that was a whole different thing because the American car makers were here building cars. So they put a tariff on the Japanese import cars to subsidize the American cars. You know, see, that's a traditional application of these tariffs and how you boost manufacturing. The problem is, while there is some manufacturing capacity here, we aren't an industrialized economy. And we're just not. Now, in some instances, some of this may work, such as, again, with the automotive industry, there is capacity here. They do build some vehicles here already, and this could force the domestic manufacturers, these car manufacturers, to move more of their production stateside, to move it here in the U.S. So you could see some partial success with that. The reason I don't believe you're going to see success across the board is we don't have the capacity. It's so simplistic to say, oh, we're just going to build everything here in America instead of importing it. Okay, where's the factories? You're going to have to build the factories. If you have existing factories, you're going to have to expand them. And these things take time, but it goes beyond that. Because you can build a factory. I mean, everything runs so much slower here and less efficient in the U.S. that it's going to take three times as long as it would anywhere else. But you can build a factory. What you can't build is human capital. The people that are going to know how to do these jobs. Who are you going to? You got to have somebody to train these people. When the Americans, when the U.S. moved their industrial capacity overseas, primarily to China, basically the corporations sent people over there to teach the Chinese how to do it. They because you have to train people. They didn't just throw up a factory in China. And of course, you have to laugh at this because now they go around and try to act like China somehow snuck around and stole this. They didn't just throw up a factory in China and tell these people, oh, well, come out of the rice paddy or whatever the hell you were doing and start building, I don't know, semiconductors or cars or whatever. And they just started doing it, just like magic. Isn't it funny when we have the example of how poorly it worked in the Soviet Union when they would just put randos. And they like people would go down and they'd be told, today, you work on an oil rig. The guy's never worked on an oil rig in his life. And they just go out there. The Soviets would say, well, you're assigned to an oil rig. That's your job today. And a guy would go out there and try to work on an oil rig and not know what the hell he was doing. We know that didn't work. Had disastrous results. Well, we're not seeing disastrous results in China. Why? Because that's not how it worked. They didn't just take people at random, build a factory and say, now start building the shit. They went over and trained these people. Does anyone believe that if we built a factory here, if you build factories here in the U.S., that the Chinese are going to come over and train people how to do these jobs? In before, oh, well, most of the jobs are going to be done by AI. Most people that throw this AI stuff out have zero understanding. And look, I'm not claiming to be all-knowing in this stuff, but I see so much over the top on this AI nonsense. Well, it's going to be run by AI and robots. Okay, where are you going to buy the robots from? China? You ain't building them here. You see the problem. They're not going to come teach people how to do this. You know, they have no incentive. They're not stupid. They're not. They're running under a different system. You could try to pay someone to do it, but the Chinese government is going to step in and say, yeah, no, you're not doing that. You see the problem here. You know, the capacity is not here. Look, I've at times in the past, I've had firsthand experience dealing with watching what has happened to a lot of the manufacturing capacity that did exist in this country, that survived the shipping to China, that stayed mostly here. The vulture capitalists came in, bought these companies up, and then strip mine the company, basically, you know, cut to try to bump the stock price so they could then, after picking the meat off the bones of a once profitable company, then they sell the pieces off and pocket the profit. Great for them. But then a manufacturing company that was once competitive and profitable here in the U.S., guess what? It's gone away. It no longer exists. It's a usury based, it's a parasitical based economy. This is what has happened here. Companies that did stay here and make things have by and large been parasited off of by these venture capitalists, vulture capitalists is a better term, that went in and stripped the company apart because they could bump the stock price and then sell it for a profit, destroying the company. But who cares about that? The point here is there's nothing to replace it with. All you're doing is driving the price of this stuff up. That's it. And people are maxed out. I was talking with somebody IRL here just recently about this. You know, how everything in this country keeps going up. You know, from your insurance, you know, vehicle insurance, health insurance, whatever. Your insurance, all of these things, they keep bumping it. Trash pickup, it doesn't matter. Everything, they keep bumping it up. Everybody's bumping it up. They bump it up enough, they think, well, you can absorb that. It's just another $100 a month. Well, the problem is everybody's doing that, and nobody has the $100 a month. If you take something that sells for $2,000 made in China here in the U.S., even if you have a manufacturer here in the U.S. that's making the same product, we all know that product's going to cost $8,000 to $10,000. Well, you say, well, then whoever's buying the product can just cough up the extra money and buy American. The problem is nobody has the extra money. Hell, if the product costed only $1,000 more, most people don't have the money, including small businesses. A lot of small businesses in this country are just getting by, just staying afloat, partially because they can operate with equipment that comes from China that they're getting way cheaper. That's the only thing keeping them afloat. And when you cut that off, oh, lo and behold, just like the COVID lockdowns, you're going to destroy again what's left of the small businesses, and the corporations will find a way to pocket the profit, to profit the difference. This is the problem. You don't have the capacity, you don't have the people, you don't have the human capital, and people can't afford the difference, even if it is made here. Another misconception people seem to have, and this is because Americans think the whole world revolves around the U.S. China's exports, I see propaganda. I pull up my YouTube video, and YouTube tries to feed me propaganda. And I see these ridiculous propaganda shill videos, and I don't even click on them. I don't watch them. But you know, I just look and I laugh. China, the tariffs are working. China has ground to a halt. You know, Z is in chaos, you know, the Chinese Communist Party is in chaos because the tariffs are working and China is in so much trouble. China's exports, around 13% roughly is what they export. Out of everything they export, roughly 13% is the U.S. Is that a lot of money? Yes, it is. Is that, you know, if that stops happening, is that going to drive a hit on their economy? Absolutely. That's reality. But if you cut 100% off, and they're not, but if you cut 100% of that off, so they lose 13% of their export business, is that going to hurt their economy? Absolutely, it's going to hurt their economy. Is it going to destroy their economy and their whole country is going to come burning down? No. No. It's not. It's silly to act like, to have this view like China, 100% of what they export must be going to America because heaven knows the center of the whole freaking universe is the U.S. It's 13%. It's 13%. That's it. I mean, yeah, it'll hurt them if this keeps going. But I believe it's going to hurt Americans a lot worse than it's going to hurt China in the long run. And I think you watch China's reaction to this. They're basically at this point of they're just kind of ignoring it now. At first they were doing, you know, well, we'll raise tariffs on you. And I was reading this morning that now basically the spokespeople for the Chinese government are like, well, at this point, we really don't import that much from America anyway, so who gives a shit? We're just going to ignore it from here on. They're not running around. They're like, oh, China's so stupid. These other countries are running around trying to make deals with Trump, and China is foolishly. Do you really, regardless of how you feel about China or the government or Chinese people in general, you know, set your silly emotionalism aside. Do you think these people are stupid? Honest question. Do you think these people are stupid, regardless of how you feel about them? I don't think anybody, yeah, boy, I tell you, those Asian people like the Chinese, they're really dumbasses. I don't think these people are stupid. So if they're just sitting back going like, basically, yeah, no, I mean, you do what you want. We don't care. I mean, is it going to hit to our economy? Yeah, it's going to hit our economy. It ain't going to be the end of the world. Go ahead. There's a reason behind it. They have thought this through. They're not running around being emotional like Americans. They're not running around acting like this is some sort of, low tier blue collar confrontation down at the honky tonk and whose honor has been, encroached upon, and whether or not you're going to punch somebody. They've thought this through and they're like, well, this is going to hurt the Americans worse than it's going to hurt us. So we'll just let them keep doing what they're doing. Personally, I don't think they're wrong. Look, at the end of the day, this is going to make things more expensive. I guess I should have said this from the beginning. I don't believe in free trade. I think it's a scam. It's another form of usury. I was here. I lived through when they went through this in the 90s of shipping all our shit overseas. And I listened to all the lies they told us. I don't believe in free trade. It's a scam. Things didn't get dramatically cheaper. Most of it, the difference, got pocketed by the corporations. And you see it on Wall Street. Up, up, up. The line goes up. We talked about it last week. Now, the problem, though, here is, now we have to deal with the reality of what they've already done. See, again, they created this mess. They created this mess back in the 90s when they went all in, because stock market price, stock prices matter more than what you actually create. Well, now this is the reality of where we're at. You can't go back in time and undo it. This is the reality where we're at, and things are going to get more expensive. And people don't have the money. Look at the price of groceries. Look at the price of cars. I'm going to get in cars here for the next story as an example of this, and how they try to shift this and twist this narrative to bamboozle, to baffle you with their bullshit. Look, people don't have any more to give. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but you've all seen these statistics of how many people are buying their groceries with a credit card because they don't have the money to buy food. You think, everything going up just 20%, and we could be looking at more than that. You think the people have the pocket money, the savings, the capital in their bank account to absorb that increase? They don't. They simply don't have it. Again, while it's true that under normal circumstances, and clown world is anything but normal, the country that has the trade deficit will benefit by putting tariffs on the country that has the trade surplus. That's the normal way it works. The caveat to that is the country that is an actual industrial nation, actually has manufacturing capacity, is the one in a stronger position. The U.S. is a financialized economy. They don't have the means to replace the lost imports. They just don't. Could that be recovered on a long enough timeline? Yes, it could. The problem is, way Trump's going about this, this goes to the fundamental problem with the system itself, where you replace leaders every so many years, regardless of their job, where the Chinese state is actually able to make 100-year plans and have confidence they can implement that. Here in the U.S., everything is 2 years because you have midterm elections, and then another 2 years, you have another presidential election. There are no long-term plans. On a long enough scale, yes, you could bring that back, but it takes time. Trump is running around trying to do this basically overnight, and it's not going to work because you can't. You can't bring it back overnight. Now, I said I was going to go to cars there. Here's another story. Not directly related to the tariffs, but it shows that people don't have money. This is a problem. The media keeps trying to spin these stories, you know, to mean this, to mean that. You know, people want this, people want that. But there is no market and people don't have money. That's all you got to know. If you want to understand, you know, a lot of what's going on, just remember, there is no actual free market. There is no market in America. It's all manipulation. And people don't have money. If you understand those two things, most of what you're going to understand a lot of this in a lot better way and be able to cut through the media BS, such as this story, which headlines, Cadillac kills off giant gas guzzler as General Motors makes way for EVs. So you know from the headline, they're trying to baffle you with bullshit. EVs are a small part of the automotive market, regardless of what the media tries to tell you. Look at Dodge's. Look at the Dodge EV, the Charger. Look at how dismal this is. And you can say, well, that's just Dodge. Look, yes, there was a huge surge early on. People were the people that wanted to run out and buy an EV bought Teslas. A lot of people don't understand. I'm not going to rehash it here. We've talked about it before. But, you know, a lot of the money Elon Musk made wasn't from Tesla. It was from selling the carbon credits, which were invented by the government. Anyway, the people that wanted EVs have bought EVs. There was a survey a while back. Again, I've talked about this before. There's a survey a while back, and it was like even current EV owners, like the majority of them said they wouldn't buy another one. This was their one and only time. And yet the media is still trying to spin this like, oh, the future is EVs. This is what everybody wants. Let me ask you, the listener, do you want an EV? Is that your dream? You can't wait to sell your gasoline vehicle to go buy an EV? No, it's not. Why don't you want an EV? Because we know the range on them sucks. You can't take a trip. You're not going to take a family trip in an EV. If you want a car to run around town, yeah, they're probably fine. You know, I'm not just hating on them for the sake of hating on them. If you want to run around cars, fine, but that's an expensive run around car. You're not going to take a family trip in an EV. That's just not realistic. What I'm trying to say is the same reasons that you personally, you, the listener, does not want an EV. Guess what? It's the same reason nobody else wants a damn thing. The vast majority of people don't want EVs. A large Cadillac SUV is driving off into the sunset. General Motors confirmed it will end production of the XT6, a three-row gas-powered crossover, this year. The phase-out will allow Cadillac to rejig its Spring Hill, Tennessee plant away from the underperforming SUV and advance the company's giant pivot towards an electric lineup. If you believe that, I mean, you believe anything. You believe that the Ukraine is on the cusp of victory any day now. Because we're going to, even in this bullshit propaganda piece, we're going to get to a little bit of truth. You could pick through here. The XT6, which debuted in 2019 as Cadillac's answer to the upscale family hauler, never quite found its footing. This is a lie. Again, we'll get to it. Because here's a hint. I'll spoil myself. The Escalade is a thing. They act like this XT6 was their upscale family hauler. But they actually have the Escalade for that. With a $50,000 plus. Remember, what did I say just a minute ago? If you want to understand this stuff, all you got to understand is there's no actual market and people don't have any money. It's not because everybody's sitting around waiting for Cadillac to come out with an EV. With a $50,000 plus starting price tag, shoppers turn to mechanically similar and cheaper GM three-row models like the GMC Acadia, Buick Enclave, and the Chevy Traverse. There's your answer. See, if you just read the headline, you think, wow, nobody wants these gasoline vehicles, so they're having to try to get ahead of the curve and start building EVs. But you get down here, what? Well, let's see, the first line is a single line paragraph because the Daily Mail doesn't understand grammar and story structure and things such as that. But you go down roughly four or five paragraphs and you get to it. It's too expensive. What's that? There's no market and people don't have any money. People that did have the money for one of these cookie cutter SUVs, because they all look the same. I played a game here a while back just to entertain myself. I was driving around town and I would say cookie cutter every time I saw one of these little crossover SUVs, because it doesn't matter the brand. Doesn't matter if it's a Volkswagen, a Mercedes, a Chevrolet, a GMC, a Ford, a Dodge, whatever. They all look alike. You can't even tell what they are. If people are going to buy a cookie cutter SUV, there's no reason to buy the Cadillac one. It's a Chevy underneath anyway. You're not getting a special custom Cadillac motor. You're getting a Chevrolet motor. Cadillac sold less than 20,000 units of the same three-row SUV on an average year. Yeah, because it's too high and people don't have any money. The car, I love this. The car burned through a gallon of gas every 21 miles in the city. It got 21 miles to the gallon in town. And the people writing this article is attempting to tell you to convince you how horrible that is. I personally have owned in the past, I've owned vehicles that got single digit gas mileage in town. You know, it was a long time ago, but I owned vehicles that got single digits, 8 miles to gallon in town. It burned through a gallon of gas, 21 miles in the city. How horrible. Now, I'm going to skip through some of this story because it's just, again, it's attempts to baffle you with bullshit. As Cadillac evolves, we will continue to make necessary adjustments to our portfolio to meet customer demand, a Cadillac spokesperson told the DailyMail.com, which is a bunch of words that don't actually say anything. Meanwhile, we've waded through this narrative here, through this story about what this means is everybody wants an EV. Meanwhile, the company has seen record growth for two models. Its iconic high-end Escalade. Let's stop right there. The Escalade. Remember what I said earlier? They tried to say, oh, people don't want these big comfy SUVs. The Escalade is huge. Y'all know what it is. If you're in Europe, you may not. If you know what a Chevy Suburban is, it's the Cadillac equivalent. It's giant. It's a full-size, it's a tank. It's a giant full-size truck that's four doors and giant. The Escalade is a thing. So they saw record growth in the Escalade. I love how they say the high-end Escalade. They don't tell you it's huge. I can 100% guarantee you the Escalade burns through a hell of a lot more than 21, than 1 gallon of gas in 21 miles in the city. Which means all of this earlier stuff they were feeding us was bullshit. I guarantee you an Escalade gets less than 21 miles to gallon in the city. I can guarantee you that. I don't know what it gets. I don't care. Because I can't afford one. Because I don't have any money. And its first EV, the Lyriq. Have you ever seen a Cadillac Lyriq EV anywhere on the road? Have you? I haven't. Have you? I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is, like, the vast majority of EVs that are sold in the U.S. are sold in California. So if you live in California, you may have seen one of these. But to act like this is some really the whole company is going to thrive pushing EVs, It's just silly. It's silly on its face. The Lyriq has quickly become the automaker's third best-selling car. That is not the only that you think it is. I mean, that to me, if I was a shareholder in GM, I would be like, this is a bad sign. This car that more than likely none of you have ever seen anyone driving around is their third best-selling model. This is a brand that's in trouble. The truth is, they're floating the company on the Escalade. If you waved your magic wand and Cadillac could no longer produce, they no longer sell the Escalade. This is what killed Dodge, by the way. They killed the Charger and the Challenger, which was keeping the company afloat, basically. The only thing they have left are the pickups, and they're going down quick. This is what killed Dodge, which is owned by a European company, outfit, Stellantis. Their bread and butter money outside of Jeep was the Dodge Charger and the Dodge Challenger with the V8s. And they killed it and tried to do this EV thing. And they can't give them away. If you got rid of the Escalade, the same thing would happen to Cadillac. GM previously said it wants the Cadillac division to only sell EVs by 2035, but has since changed its tune. Well, why is that? Well, wonder why they would change their tune about that. Because nobody wants them. And they know it. Now, I'm going to read one more little snippet here from this article. GM announced last week that it was ramping up production of, drum roll please, its expensive full-size pickups that are built in the U.S. in response to the tariffs. The pickups are what's keeping the company afloat. You know? I mean, I understand. Look, where you live, if you live in California and you see people driving around in EVs everywhere, you get the the misconception that, well, everybody in the country wants an EV because, you know, hell, California's got to be the center of the universe, right? I understand on the flip side of that, being in Texas myself, and I see everybody, you know, all these people driving around in big pickup trucks, it's easy to get the misconception that everybody wants a big pickup truck. But the figures don't lie. The pickup trucks, these things are what is keeping these companies afloat. The EVs, they're making the EVs to offset the government CAFE standards. They're trying to not have to buy so many carbon credits from Tesla, an invented market by the government, because there is no market. The government says now you have to have these carbon credits. Oh, and this guy over here is the guy you got to buy them from. Free market. They're not building EVs because, oh, everybody wants an EV. They're building EVs because when the government says your vehicle has to, all your vehicles have to average 35 miles per gallon, say, I'm just pulling that out of the air, but roughly that. The Biden people wanted to make it 50. We're going to say 35. The government says your average standard for your fuel economy has to be 35 miles to the gallon. Well, your number one seller, the only thing that's making your company profitable, that's keeping you afloat, are pickup trucks that get a hell of a lot less than 35 miles to the gallon. So you have to make that average. So you got to build these EVs, which you could claim basically don't use any gas. They have some weird convoluted formula they use for the EVs, but they're building the EVs so they can make the average come out as close to that 35 so that they're not paying the penalty, or they're paying as small a penalty as possible. That's why they're building EVs. There's your short answer. There is no market. It isn't because everybody's dying to buy a Cadillac Liquid or whatever the hell they call their EV. It's because they're trying to offset. The pickup trucks are where they make their money. It's the same with Stellantis, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram. They're making their money off of Jeeps, which are basically like a smaller pickup if you wanted to put them in a class, or damn sure not a car. And the Ram pickups. And that, they're in trouble because they got rid of the V8s and their half tons. You can get this stupid little six-cylinder motor, which is a topic for another day. There it is. You got to look. I picked this story because I have to cull through. I start off with a big list of stories, and then I start calling. I picked this story because I thought it was so hilarious that they spent the first part of the story claiming that this shows that people, the market exists, which it doesn't. And because the market is totally real, people have rejected this large, comfy SUV that only gets 21 miles per gallon in the city because they're all just dying for Cadillac to come out with an EV. And then in the same story, you get to the bottom and it's like, well, you know, actually what the people that have the money, which is getting to be a smaller and smaller group because nobody has any money, But the ones that do, they want an Escalade, which is giant and doesn't get anywhere near 21 miles to the gallon in the city. You listen to a liar long enough, and they'll contradict themselves in the same conversation. You just have to listen for it. You just have to watch for it. All you have to remember is there is no free market and nobody has any money. If you understand that, you're going to understand a lot more about all of this, whether it's about the automotive industry, tariffs, whatever. Just remember, there is no actual free market in this country and nobody has any money. If you do that, this stuff will make a lot more sense. We're going to wrap up on that note. I will be back tomorrow for the Parish of the Patriot show. How do I know that? Because it's already recorded. It's just sitting there waiting to post. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist show. And Dr. Johnson will wrap up our week on Thursday with his Daily Nationalist show. So I hope you all get a chance to check out all of our great content this week on Radio Albion. I hope you have a great week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.